Young man, Stefan, is sitting alone in a police cell.
He would never have come to Nottingham if it'd been up to him. You get that a lot. Fate fucked me over.
Murder. Joint enterprise. Written by Robert Jones, directed by Buer Larson. A view over a city at night. A car moves slowly through busy streets, its windscreen wipers sweeping rain from the glass. In an apartment, a young woman, Colleen, is slumped on the edge of a bathtub, wrapped up in a dressing gown. She seems in shock, and her face is wet with tears. In an autopsy room, the body of a young woman, Erin, lies on the autopsy table under blood-stained sheets. The car keeps driving through the night. Alone in a court meeting room, a lawyer, Raglin, walks back and forth, deep in thought. The car passes a signpost for Nottingham. Slowed down CCTV footage of a man and two women walking up to a takeaway place. Day one. At night, a police car parked outside a block of council flats pulls away. Colleen.
We were like sisters should be.
Photographic evidence of a crime scene.
We were like the sisters people mean when they say two people are like sisters. He bought us drinks. He was wearing a denim jacket. I said, ignore him, but she said, why?
Bloodstains on the jacket's sleeve.
We were playing pool. He came over. He said, don't worry, I'm a priest. She thought that was funny. He said, the drinks were for two nuns who hadn't turned up. She laughed. She said, what do we do? He wanted to put his name down. Erin picked up the drink and drank it in a way that meant, yeah, he could. Stefan. S-T-E-F-A-N.
Stefan sitting in a police station interview room, shaking his head nervously.
I mean, I have done stuff. Just because I've done stuff, that don't mean... My nephew's getting christened today. I'm supposed to be his godfather. He'll have no godfather now.
We had the same tattoos. We were getting another one. When the sun shines, we shine together. Told you I'd be here forever.
Photo evidence of a woman's white vest soaked with blood.
She had sensitive skin. She needed a couple of drinks first, and that's why we are in the Royal.
Look, I have done stuff. I never said that I haven't done stuff.
I'll fucking show you that, you fucking prick!
But that does not mean that I did this. She lent me her purse to buy pizza. No comment. No comment. Now, they asked me over to play pool, and I was minding my own business. I shouldn't even have fucking been there.
I said just ignore him. She should have ignored him, like I said.
Traffic crisscrossing at a busy intersection.
You know, my mum warned me about Nottingham. Always grief, she said, Nottingham.
The image turns blood red.
She said, it's there, look, right there, start of the word, not. You remember that? Grief. Grief.
In a dark blue jumpsuit, Stefan paces around.
We live together, always. Almost always. Flat 4/5, Caxton House, Vernon Road, Basford, Nottingham. Since we were kids.
Old footage of Colleen and Erin as children mucking about and pulling faces.
Since we were kids. Stefan. The chalk squeak when he wrote his name. I said it was Winner Stays On.
Now, Erin's the dead one. She was looking at me. Yeah, she'd like look down the pool cue, and then just before she potted the ball, there'd be a little look up at me. And they could play, both of them.
A white-haired man, D.I. Sheehy.
He was just minding his business at the bar. And this pretty girl playing pool kept giving him the eye. So he gets them a couple of drinks and he goes over.
The youngest one, Colleen, she didn't want me there.
He thought he was funny. A priest. Very dry, he kept saying. Everything that Erin said, he said it was very dry. I said, don't forget we're going for these tattoos.
The younger one wanted to go, the older one didn't fancy it, the tattoo. So, you know, he was being gentlemanly.
Photo evidence of a single bed.
He kept on buying her drinks. Us.
So then Erin says, let's go and get some pizza. Must have been, I don't know, 7.
Erin said anything as long as it's not pizza. She didn't like going in there because the bloke was a knob.
Footage of them approaching the takeaway.
But Stefan grabbed her bag and went in.
Didn't want to go in. Would I go in? Gives me her purse. Right?
Photo evidence of a half-eaten pizza in its box. The CCTV footage shows Erin holding out the bag to Stefan, who quickly snatches it. He then goes inside and walks back out with 2 pizza boxes.
So when he came out, she said, give it back. And he said, I'll give it back at the flat. So he knew our address because he'd seen it on her license. She said, let's sit here at the bus stop. He said, no, the flat. He walked off with a bag and the pizzas. I had a really bad feeling. They weren't laughing now.
Colleen fights back tears. In Caxton House, the door of an empty lift slides shut.
In the lift, it all went quiet. It was sex, it was in the air, I'll be honest with you.
The lift door opens at the 4th floor.
Colleen answered a word for about an hour, because I'm missing the tattoo. But then she cheered up all of a sudden. Said, had I ever played Spin the Bottle?
He said, did we know Spin the Bottle? And I said it was a game for kids, and he said, not the way I play it.
An empty corridor.
Emergent Servcon service do you require?
You've got to come now, please.
Can you give me the address?
I'm scared he's still here. He's hurt my sister. My sister.
He was arrested at 2247 during a high-speed chase driving the victim's car. He wasn't from Nottingham, and he was driving away. He said that a lot. For a while, it was either that or no comment.
No comment. No comment.
I shouldn't have been in Nottingham, he said. I shouldn't have been in Nottingham. Something his mother had told him. If I hadn't been in Nottingham, none of this would have happened, by which I took him to mean the murder.
Photo evidence of Erin's injuries, skin bruised and hair caked with blood.
Yeah, strip Spin the Bottle, she said. If it points to me, I take something off. She was bollock naked inside 15 minutes. She says if it points to me again, I start putting stuff on now. This is Colleen I'm talking about. Putting other people's stuff on.
He took the washing line off the balcony and tied it around the bathroom door handle and pushed me in there and tied it somewhere so I couldn't get out.
You'd never have come to Nottingham if it'd been up to him. You get that a lot. They'd fuck me over.
But she had my jacket on with my wallet in it. And she went to the bathroom, unlocked the door and started singing. So she couldn't hear me. That's why I'm kicking the door.
And I could hear him. And I could hear her. And I was shouting, like, what's he doing to you? What's he doing?
And yeah, I might have pushed her, but that was it.
I was shouting, what's he done to you? What's he done? And I was shaking the door and shaking it, and the washing line came off and I fell back.
Stefan alone in the interview room.
He'd been to see a friend of his in Doncaster, where he lives. And this pal was just off to watch the Rovers away. He said, why didn't Stefan get on the coach? And that way he'd be out of the way of these young lads he was hiding from, the Coppett brothers.
She tried to open a can of lager, but the opener, the tab bit, had snapped off, so she tried to push it in with her finger. She cut it, it bled like fuck, and that's why I've got her blood all over my fingernails and everywhere. But I just fucking left them to it, they're fucking crazy women.
I thought he was gonna come in. And I was scared to go out. I was calling Eric, like a whisper.
It was only after they were well on their way that he asked who Rovers were playing. And his pal said, Nottingham Forest.
Eric.
Same for me, they weren't playing Derby County. Her too.
A headline reads, Basford murder, local man arrested.
Yeah, I might have pushed her, but that was it.
They'd fucked me over.
A bloodied bottle.
I asked him if he had a thing about sisters. Some men do.
Look, someone else killed her, I didn't kill her. Someone broke in and killed her, but not me. Someone got into their flat after I left and killed her.
Robbery gone wrong, nothing more than that. He went there for anything he could get and it blew up in his face.
And I've not done anything I've not been fucking caught for.
They'd fucked me over.
And she lent me her purse to buy the pizza. Now, if someone lends you something, they lend you what's in it, don't they? Right, they lend you the purse, and that purse has a key in it, and that key opens a car and then starts a car, then you haven't stolen a car. But look, I had been drinking, I'm not denying that. Look, my hands are up to that.
He holds up his blood-stained palms.
Cause of death was blows to the head with a blunt instrument or instruments. One to the left at the front, three or four more to the back at the right. The indentation to the front is semi-spherical in shape and less injurious. The fractures to the back of the skull are penetrative and V-shaped. There were other blows and kicks and a bite to the arm, but it was the blows to the head that killed her. Scene of crime investigation suggests the murder weapon was a rectangular amaretto bottle found at the scene, and this tallies with the V-shape of some of the indentations, presumably caused by the bottle's corners.
We had her blood on his jacket and shoes, her blood on the steering wheel, his prints on the bottle. We had an eyewitness statement from the sister. We had him.
Stefan poses for a mugshot. His fingerprints are taken.
I've got two brothers and they're both every bit as bad as me. I've got two sisters who are angels, they're nurses, both of them. And I've got another brother, he's learning difficulties. Wasn't born right, wouldn't hurt a fly. And so how does that one turn out then? Half was bad, half was good.
The phone rings at D.I. Sheehy's empty desk. His asthma inhaler lies next to his keyboard. Day 2. Colleen's at the police station, waiting alone in a corridor until an officer approaches her.
I couldn't believe it when they arrested Colleen, but then I could.
A headline reads, update on Basford murder, sister arrested.
That's Colleen on the left and Erin, the one who got killed. They were arguing because Colleen wanted to get this tattoo and Erin wanted to stay in the pub. I feel bad because I told Erin that Colleen's boyfriend had a love bite from his ex. That's what he told me, next to his nipple. And then Erin was like, we'll wait to see him to have it out. And Colleen was like, no, we're going to get this tattoo. And Erin's got this temper. Well, they both have. And we'll watch.
They're fighting in the pub.
Look, cat fight. And that's the guy that got arrested. He comes in and pulls him apart. That was those two laughing and then just scratching eyes out.
I do love a development. We enhance the video taken off the mobile phone. It looks like nothing, but then you see it. Look, Luke, there.
Footage of Colleen about to strike Erin.
It's a bloody pool ball.
A freeze frame reveals the ball in her hand as she brings it up to slam it in Erin's face.
I didn't really think I was neutral, but the police said I didn't have to be neutral to be a witness. And they've seen it on YouTube, so they wish I filmed all the trouble around here.
Would have taken Ricky Hutton down, that.
I was a friend of Colleen's boyfriend, that's why I filmed it. Thought he'd think it was funny. Now I just don't know.
In a coach station.
She calls me H. She said I don't deserve my full name. That's how she treats me. One day I'm like outcast. The next she can't get enough. She must have phoned me 25 times that day. Text, stop counting. Never even looked at the text or the voicemail. I know what she's like when she's drinking. But then I did have a look. And I just thought it was more of a bullshit.
Yeah, we did have arguments with sisters. Like the washing up, tattoos, love bites. Sometimes Erin, she needs a slap and she knows it herself. Stuff builds up in her. It's for her own good. She thought it was funny that H had a love bite. And he gives them to himself, those love bites. He gives them to himself and then says that his ex-girlfriend did them, and she knows that.
Fresh thinking. One of those injuries wasn't Stefan. At least one. Maybe even the fatal one.
Colleen's in the interview room.
Like, she worked in Water Meadow Place. In the show home, showing people around. She put a deposit on one of the flats there. Like we were just gonna go and move there. I said, no way am I moving. She said, why? I said, you know why. Mum. She said, Mum will find us if she comes, but I just said, no way. No, no way, no way, no way.
A sign on a door reads, sorry, the show home is closed. A model of a housing development.
Yeah, she was a rubbish mum, but I loved her. She couldn't handle us. She put me in the bathroom and tie the door shut till I calmed down. And one day she just left.
Colleen fades away.
Erin would never go without me.
I said to her, if you look at that, it looks as though you're pulling her towards the flat against her will. Like you're doing what he's telling you.
Footage of Colleen dragging Erin away.
She didn't answer that. I said, so, you have arguments. I mean, now you hit her in the pub. What about later on? What about at the flat? Did you hit her there? With the amaretto bottle, did you both hit her? No reply. I said, just say no if you didn't. Otherwise, I'll infer that you did. No reply. I said, so, I'll infer that you did. No reply, I repeated. I'm entitled to infer that you did. If you won't say, you didn't. Silence. Long silence. I can handle silence. She can't outdo me on silence. You're looking at a bloke who sits by a river with a rod in his hand saying nothing to no one for days on end. Then she just says, I did. Two things she could have meant by that. First, I did say that I didn't. Second, I did hit my sister with the bottle later in the flat. Which of those two do you mean, I said.
Colleen's in a holding cell.
We're sisters. We argue. He killed her.
Closed up. Moment was gone.
The pool ball injury wasn't fatal, but we found traces of Colleen Lowell's skin under Erin's fingernails, and traces of Erin's under Colleen's.
No scratching on the footage taken by the barman. No scratches visible on either of them here. So?
I was arrested at 11 at night. I was drunk. I was speeding. And if I hadn't been doing either of those things, then maybe I'd still be a free man now, because she never knew my second name or where I was from.
But the clincher, right? You like this, look. You spin a bottle, you hold it like this. We had both the suspect's prints on the amaretto bottle in this sort of area. And the deceased's. But if you want to kill someone with it, this is how you hold it. Dig everything that amaretto bottle. Whose fingerprints do you think we found round this section? Both of them.
Oh yeah, we upset her, me and Colleen. We had sex and she didn't like it. She hit the fucking roof, thought me and her should be doing it. Oh, that was the way they'd fucking worked it anyway. So she lost the pot completely, started screaming, shouting, scratching out. But we never fucking killed her.
She was a virgin and she thought her moment had come, but he couldn't keep his hands off me.
Joint enterprise, RV Swindle and Osborne, 1846. Two cart drivers were having a race. A pedestrian got killed. They wouldn't say which one had hit him. Since both were equally encouraging the other in the race, it was deemed irrelevant which of them had actually struck the man. Joint enterprise.
Joint enterprise?
Till they get to court, that is. Then it's cutthroat.
Well, I encouraged her and she encouraged me, and together we killed her sister. Fuck me.
Colleen and Stefan's names are written alongside each other on a whiteboard.
He'll have no godfather now.
Stefan Ulrich, 25, of Spring Hill, Doncaster.
Stefan paces in his cell.
All this, it could bring her back.
Colleen Lowell, 23. Flat 4/5, Caxton House, Vernon Road, Basford, Nottingham.
Stefan does press-ups on the floor of his cramped cell. Day 15. Blurred city lights through the car's windscreen. A raindrop snakes down the glass. At Nottingham County Court, Raglan paces around in an interview room, thinking to himself.
So this is the story of what's just happened. I said, when the detective inspector asked you if you'd hit your sister at the flat, why did you make no clear reply? I said, Stefan Hollick is a man of violence. I showed her the documents. She could be in no doubt. I said, it was you that said not to accept the drinks from him. It was you that wanted to leave the pub and go and get the tattoo. It's you that said to ignore him. On all counts, your instincts were proved right and tragedy followed because your instincts were overruled. It's an absurdity that got you here, so why did you make no clear reply to D.I. Shee's question? She said, because I hit her. I said, yes, you did. I said, we've all seen that. We've all seen that on the video footage from the pub on Dina Pritchard's camera phone. Forms part of the evidence against you. She said no, but I said yes. I'm afraid so. It's there for all to see on the camera phone. There's no getting away from it. I said the boyfriend, H, another man of violence. Are you protecting him? She looked at me then. I said, the bite mark on your sister's arm. Not a playful bite, a deep bite, a bloody bite. Two men of violence. Two men who like to hurt women. I said, should I get that bite mark forensically examined? She had a tear in the corner of each eye. She didn't trust herself to speak, but she nodded. I said, in that case, I will.
I never bit no one. There's no way they could make me take that test. Tooth broke anyhow.
H points to his tooth.
The bite mark is hers.
Raglan's rehearsing in a hotel room.
I have a confession to make. I have a confession to make, my lord. I have a confession to make, my lord. I have a confession to make, my lord. I bit my wife. I have a confession to make, my lord. I bit my wife last night. I have a confession to make, my lord. I bit my wife last night. But I can assure you my intention was very far from murderous. Make the jury uncomfortable, we won't forget it.
In a prison cell.
The prosecution are going to worm things out of you in court and you're going to look like a nasty little liar, so tell me them now. That's my brief. AKA, he already thinks I look like a nasty little liar and doesn't want me living up to appearances. I'm a decorated fucking war hero. He says, yeah, no, we'll make sure they're aware of that. Colleen wanted me to have sex with her sister. She was a virgin. So I said, I will if I can have you first. Yeah, that's in your statement to the police, he said. I said, patience. After that, in court as at it, she went and fetched a kitchen knife, chased Colleen into the bathroom and then tied the washing line around the door handle. I tried to get her to do it then, but she'd changed her mind. Are you saying you tried to rape Erin Lowell? Well, that was pretty far past fucking base camp with her sister when all hell broke loose. How would you feel? But are you saying you tried to rape Erin Lowell? She wanted to have sex with me. They both wanted that. But did you try and rape her? Well, I won't be making that mistake again. She'd kept that knife nice and handy. And what did you do to her? He said, do you really think they're not going to ask you this in court? Right, I pushed her on the bed. He's like, the bed where she was found dead felt like saying, whose fucking side are you on? I don't know where she was found dead because she was live and kicking when I left that flat. Oh, anything else? Yeah, I might have given her a slap or two. Now, when you say a slap, I said, I mean a slap. She tried to fucking stab me with that knife. And what did you do? I ran. And I stole Erin Lowell's handbag from the hallway. But you didn't kill her, he says. No, I didn't kill her. Actually, you've told me everything. I've told you everything. Do you feel better? I said, what kind of a cunt steals a woman's handbag after trying to rape her? He says, a thief and a rapist.
Day 20.
She came to me in a dream and said, scatter my ashes there. Mum, not Erin.
A framed photo of a young Erin and Colleen with their mum, Ellen. Ellen enters the remand centre's visitor's room.
I got a visiting order. I thought it was someone's sick joke at first. It said Ms. E. Lowell. All I could think was Erin. Erin coming to visit me.
Ellen sits alone at a table and waits.
The girl in the next cell did my hair and nails and lent me these trousers. The top my friend from work bought in, shoes I had.
Colleen's in her cell, smartly dressed and looking nervous. Ellen.
Didn't know if she'd want to see me. I haven't been in contact. Very often I was about to. She might only want to see me to tell me to go to hell.
The mother and child reunion.
You know, I said to Erin, I said she'll be back. She'll be back. And now here she is.
Colleen hasn't seen her mother since she was 14. But every time she mentioned her, she just glowed. She was 14 again. I'm thinking, I need this woman in the public gallery.
Oh, yeah, we could all get our fucking mothers in. You think that's justice? My mum says I didn't do it. Fuck off.
I'll actually know my mum should probably say, yeah, well, he might have done, yeah.
I was a fuck up as a mum. Didn't know if she'd want to see me.
I've thought about this day a million times. What would I say? At first I had loads of questions, but not now. I know what I'm going to say. I'm just going to say, don't ever go away again.
From CCTV footage of Ellen waiting in the room whilst a man sweeps the floor, to photo evidence of Erin's head wound.
They were cruel to each other. They said cruel things about each other. You're fat. You look like a man. You look like a lesbian. Your skin looks like meat, Erin said once to her sister. Whatever they could think of to hurt the other one the most. I didn't know what to do. Always fighting. What should a mother do? I've been diagnosed with cancer. I needed to tell them. When I came home from work, they were pulling each other's hair out. Great clumps of hair. Fighting. Biting. Kicking. There was blood.
I told Erin I'd started my period and she didn't believe me. I showed her the pad and she said that wasn't menstrual blood, that I'd cut myself and put it on there.
They didn't hear me shouting, so I thought, well, I'll go around the park for 10 minutes, that was all. And then when I come back home, they'll be calm and I'll be able to tell them what I need to tell them.
So I said, where have I cut myself then? Where? Where? I was pulling my clothes off, where?
I did go around the park. And then I went in the Royal. And then when I come out of the Royal, I got on a bus.
Driving past leafless trees.
It's not like I stood there waiting at the bus stop. It was there already when I came out. The bus looks cheerful in the dark lit up inside. But when I got off the bus, I got on another one that went to Derby. That one I did wait for. I was walking along the Ashbourne Road and I was thinking, Ashbourne Road begins with an A. I'll just keep walking until I see a road that begins with a Z. I stuck out my thumb. A lorry driver came straight away, just like how the bus was right there. He was going to Carlisle.
Ellen seems overwhelmed.
It was very quiet after. We slept in Mum's bed that night. We got taken into care. Fostered? Apart. I ran away back to the flat to see if Mum would come back. I didn't have a key. I could see in. All our things were still in there. The woman who was fostering me, she said they'd have given the flat to another family, but they hadn't. That's how I knew she was coming home. We did get back to the flat. Erin got to 17, they said she could look after me.
Raglan.
It's high risk having them meet. Not that I could prevent it. Colleen's waited 9 years for this, and she's never given up hope. Her mother's like the Virgin Mary and Cheryl Cole rolled into one for her. Things go well, she'll glow with 100 watts of innocence right through the trial, and we'll blow everyone else out of the water. Things go badly, I'm not sure she'll even care if they send her down.
Colleen steps into the visitor's room. Timidly, she approaches Ellen, who gets to her feet, and the mother and daughter stand facing each other. Ellen reaches out, putting her hands on Colleen's shoulders, but Colleen stays motionless, her arms hanging at her sides, so Ellen doesn't embrace her. They both sit down. A tense, emotional moment passes as they stare into each other's eyes.
There is something about being locked out of your own flat and looking in. It's like being dead.
Both Colleen and Ellen are on the verge of tears.
I talked to her. She's amazing. She's beautiful. Like Erin. I said I knew you were coming back. Erin said you were dead, but I knew you weren't. I knew you loved us and you wanted to come back, but something meant that you couldn't. And everything I said, she was just like, yeah, that's it, that's it. She understood. She could see it. I knew everything there was to know about her, and she understood me. I told her everything that happened. Erin wanting to go and live at Watermeadow Place, and the day it all happened. And me thinking, if she just wasn't a virgin, she wouldn't be wanting to go. She'd have moved on in herself and she'd be happy where she was. And everything that happened because of that, and she understood me.
I'm not saying she's faultless. She made a mistake. And it was this. She allowed her resentment at Erin's refusal to take her advice to get the better of her, and she sided briefly but significantly with Hollick, and she goaded her sister. If there was joint enterprise of any kind between Stefan and Colleen, it was to that end and that end only, relieving her 27-year-old sister of her burdensome virginity.
She said it wasn't my fault, it was her fault. She said it couldn't be helped. It couldn't be helped. We cried together for Erin. First time I've cried since that night. When she was going, she held my hand.
They embrace, then Ellen leaves. Sitting on her cell's bed, Colleen smells her hand.
She smells the same.
She smiles at the memory.
She's going to pray for me. Pray they let me go.
Sisters don't kill sisters. Google it. Sister killing sister. You get Cleopatra, Roman legends, some Icelandic rock band. Sisters don't kill sisters. Sororicide, it happens. Their brothers kill them. Sometimes they kill their brothers. But sisters, Google it. Actually, don't Google it. Till after the trial.
My mum, right? With my brother, okay, fair enough. Deep down, he's not as much of a cunt as I am. But with her, it's like we're Cain and Abel, and I'm the... You know, which one's the bad motherfucker? Now, that's how she sees it. And what fucks me off the most, right, is that I'm the one who tries. Yeah, he doesn't give a shit, him. It's like Mother's Day, what? What's that? Yeah? I'm sending flowers from Afghani fucking Stan. And he lives three streets away, punching off her wage packet, but he's the one with the sunshiny arsehole.
Photos of Stefan and his regiment in Afghanistan.
Now, when I got my leg blown off, she says to me, well, they're not going to want you now, are they? You catch me saying something like that to my godson? Fuck off.
Stefan sleeping, his artificial leg resting against his bed. Raglin.
Bring it on.
A statue of Robin Hood with bow and arrow. An empty courtroom at Nottingham County Court. Photographic evidence being photocopied. The evidence collated in the pages of a binder. The bloodied amaretto bottle sealed in an evidence bag. Day 113.
Murder stops time. It's like musical chairs. One minute there's music and running around, and the next bang, there's not enough room for someone, they're gone. Everything that was going on before, all that merry dance, all that fiasco we call life, now you have to make sense of it. At least that's the job of the prosecution.
I won't see my godson just yet. I don't want him in a place like this, I can see that. Not that he is my godson yet, he's not even been christened yet. Not even welcomed into the family of Christ until I'm out of here. He'll limbo is what he is. Waiting.
Every day she sat there. Every day. Stayed right till the end, right till the judge sent the jury out. She'll be there now. Not in the public gallery, they empty that, but maybe in like a cafe around the corner. Waiting for the jury to come out. Waiting for the verdict, same as me. Wondering what it's going to be. Wondering what she'll say to me. Wondering if we'll live together again. I saw once where a tennis player won a match and he climbed up through the crowd to his dad right up in the stand. That's what I'll be like. If the jury comes back in and the judge asks their decision and they say Colleen Lowe, not guilty, that's what I'll be like. Straight to Mum.
I plotted a simple line, I held to it, I stayed above the fray. She was glowing, I was glowing, all the time above my head, like a banner. Sisters don't kill sisters.
She's nailed on guilty. I don't care what all the fucking Raglan says.
D.I. Sheehy sitting outside, eating lunch.
I saw him in the gents. When I was at school, I was a kid. When you were having a piss, you'd walk along the line at the urinal, 5, 6, 7 of you, taking a leak. Give each of you a push, just a little push. You'd be covered in piss. That's what came back to me when I saw him in the gents.
In his cell, Stefan slumps onto the bed.
Well, I keep thinking about... I was in a band once, you know, for about 2 weeks. And anyway, when you go on stage in a pub or whatever and they dim the lights down, like, just for a minute, people shut up and they look at you. Right, and you plug your guitar in and you get this... all of a sudden, this quite loud kind of like, buzz and crackle and clunk. You know, you're wired up. And you stood there and you're thinking, fucking hell, the possibilities.
He seems lost in thought.
Yeah, so that's what I keep thinking about.
Who puts pips in grapes now? Great leveller, piss in your pants. My wife gives me these, otherwise eat Pringles. Sisters don't kill sisters, he says. Well, this one did. Next best thing to piss in his pants. Boyfriend of the accused. Hesketh Jupp. That took the smile off his face.
It was like I blocked it out of my mind.
He saw the two of them together, sisters, on the bed. After Stefan had fled, you know, the co-accused.
Like they were waiting.
He'd never told anyone, not even Colleen. Blurted out of him in court. One alive, one dead, on the mother's bed. Court went quiet. Raglan, face like a smacked ass.
There it was, out there, like someone else had said it. Stefan Hollick's lawyer says, when was the last time you saw Erin Lowell alive? And I said she was on the bed, but she was dead then. What bed? Where? In Colleen's mum's room, lying there with Colleen. When was this? The night she died. What time? About 10. Just like they were waiting. Everything went quiet. And then they just started tearing through those pages and then binders what they have. You were there at the flat on the night, he said.
Just a little push.
Was I? Yeah. Yeah, I was. Yeah, I was there. Then I looked at Colleen. Hesketh Jupp. I thought Hesketh Jupp, not H.
H walks off, adjusting the collar of his leather jacket.
Stefan's brief asked me what I said to that. I said, I don't say anything to that. He kept on. What's your reaction to what the witness said?
Nothing. Nothing.
Silence. Then she said it's true.
Nothing quite like the sight of a highly paid QC of the dead sheep on his head trying to summon up a shit-eating smile.
Rethink.
Raglan gets his wits about him. He starts trying to unsettle the whole thing to suit him. Crown seems very surprised by this. Perhaps they'd like to take some time to consider developments. Fuck you, Raglan. Answer the fucking question. Why was she cowering in the bathroom when PC Simpson arrived? If she was lying on the bed 20 minutes before?
The Crown couldn't give too much credence to what he said, or it would look like the most catastrophic oversight on their part.
Did he answer the question?
There was a lot of hurried scrabbling back through witness statements and the interview.
Did he fuck?
His Honour suggested a short recess.
He asked for a recess.
Rethink, regroup.
Give the man credit. He knows a turning point.
I think it's something untouched by this. That stinking cells. Shit people do to each other, lies they tell. What is it? A baby. A newborn baby. Think of that. One, right, I'm a man of violence. How many times have I heard that in the last 3 weeks? Right, I was a soldier for 8 years. You don't get the medals I've got frothing milk. Two, the leg. I'm sensitive about the leg. I've got a short fuse. No, I am sensitive about the fucking leg as it happens, but it wasn't Erin who called me a cripple, it was my co-defendant. So what does that prove? Three, my so-called brief. Right, having him defending me and Raglan defending her, that's like putting pea shooters up against fucking Iron Man. Yeah, sisters don't kill sisters. Might not be true, but at least it's fucking memorable.
Rethink, regroup. Return. Here are some questions. H said he peeped in at the bedroom door and saw Erin dead on the bed with Colleen beside her. How could he tell she was dead? He peeped in and ran away. How could he tell that Stefan Hollick had already departed? Good questions. Did I ask them? I did not. I asked a different question, and then I answered it. Why was Colleen in the bathroom when the police arrived?
Finally.
Because when Colleen broke out of the bathroom where Stefan Hollick had imprisoned her, she found her sister dead. On the floor, naked, dead.
I thought of Mum.
She thought of her mum. Her mum, who's here today as she is every day, standing by her wrongly accused daughter.
The dead woman's naked body, what they always say in newspapers, on the radio. I used to think that about Mum. I didn't want that to be her. Not want that to be Erin either.
Incredulous and inconsolable.
Colleen cries.
I bit her to wake her up. Bit her hard.
My client put a dress on her sister and laid her on their mother's bed.
I thought I heard him.
And then she heard a sound. The sound of the door. Perhaps it was the sound of H scuttling off into the night.
Coming back.
Or perhaps it was the sound of someone coming back. Stefan Hollick coming back. For his jacket, for his wallet, for who knows what else. Beside herself with fear, Colleen did something that she is deeply ashamed of. She abandoned her dead sister.
I left her on the bed. I hid in the bathroom. I thought he was coming, I called the police.
You may think that's forgivable. Colleen Lowell doesn't.
Give the man credit, that was class.
And that right there, that's where I won the case. When they arrived, the police had to break down the bathroom door.
We could have done without the fucking mother.
Moving in towards the flat's front door. Stefan doing press-ups in his cell. Day 148. In a prison workshop, Stefan's sitting at a sewing machine.
He's not my nephew. He's my son. My brother was away on a job when he was conceived, but he hadn't worked that out. She didn't want him to. She told him the baby was premature, but it wasn't. He'd came on here, actually. Came to break it to me that they were going ahead with the christening. And they couldn't wait now. You know, not now. She wrote to me, begging me not to tell him. I just showed him the letter. Yeah, it was a short visit. Won't be repeated.
Someone clears up cups and saucers from the table in the jury's room. At Caxton House, Ellen's in her bedroom. She sits on the bed thoughtfully.
He'll never be able to look at that boy without seeing me shagging his wife.
The man she was living with died and left her some money. I said, this is where Erin wanted to live. This is where you told me in a dream to scatter Erin's ashes. And she said, this is where we'll live. There's two flats left. We're going to look round them both. And we're getting the tattoos, the one me and Erin were going to get. She wanted to take one last look around the flat on her own. I've arranged everything here.
In court, they wanted to know why his fingerprints were on the neck of the bottle. He said he'd used it to batter at the bathroom door. He wanted his jacket back, photos of his godson.
I'm one of those people that other people like kicking. I'm talking about my old man, teachers at school, coppers, obviously, officers in the army, the fucking Taliban, Colleen Lowell and her smart-ass lawyer, and my brother, now that he's found out, and his slapper of a fucking so-called wife. I started thinking, do you know what? I'm sick of getting up just to get kicked back down again. And in here, right, there's loads of people like me. People who've taken a kicking. And not just one kicking, I'm talking about a lifetime of kicking.
Colleen waits outside her prospective new flat.
They've got someone else now doing the showing round. She knew Erin. She's going to show us round.
Whether he did it or not, not really sure anymore. But she did. But then, who am I to judge?
Day zero. Each in their cells, Stefan and Colleen sit in silence. Knife in hand, Erin chases Colleen through the flat. Laughing, Colleen locks herself in the bathroom.
Bitch!
Colleen's naked under Stefan's jacket.
Open the door!
Right. Stay in there. Cow. Grow up, Erin. Fucking slag. Open the door. What were you doing?
Shit.
Joking. Hey. What were you doing with her?
What have you got a knife for? All right, fucking calm down.
Why didn't you wait for me?
I'm fucking mad.
What's he doing to you?
Put the knife down.
Why didn't you wait for me?
Oh, come in here. Come on.
Open the door!
Brandishing the knife, Erin marches towards Stefan.
Stop messing about with Nastia!
He overpowers her and pins her to the bed.
Erin! I'll show you how to fucking play!
Terrified, she struggles in vain under his grip. Stefan gently touches Erin's face.
Erin!
He knocks her out with a hard punch, then climbs off the bed, picks up the amaretto bottle, and heads towards the bathroom.
Colleen!
She stops trying to open the door and slides the lock back in.
What are you doing? What's going on?
Erin, can you bring my jacket back?
A dazed Erin emerges from the bedroom, armed with the knife.
I'm not scared of you! You can piss off Erin!
Go! Why don't you fucking stay there?
Get out or I'll fucking kill you!
I'll do some fucking damage!
Get out!
Stefan relents and drops the bottle.
I'm going. Fuck off, you fucking mad you are. I forgot about that fucking jacket!
Go!
Stefan leaves.
Let me out. You can rot in there waiting for Mum! Who's dead, by the way! You don't know that! You ruined it! You ruined everything you always fucking do!
You ruined everything!
I fucking hate you! She's dead! You don't know that! I'm never looking at you. Not dead! You don't know that our mother!
Colleen frees herself.
You don't know anything! She's not fucking dead! Erin! She's dead! She's dead! She's dead! You take that back, what you said about Mum. She's dead! She's dead!
Erin's frantically packing a bag. Enraged, Colleen picks up the bottle and repeatedly bludgeons Erin over the head.
Erin!
Did I want to appeal? There were grounds for it, they said. I felt like saying, do you know what? People don't seem to find me that fucking appealing.
I can see why Erin likes showing people around here. I can see why she wanted to live here.
Now wearing a bathrobe, Colleen unpacks Erin's clothes and puts them back in their drawer.
I never wanted to come see it.
Colleen's dressed Erin in a nightgown and laid her body on their mother's bed. She tenderly strokes her sister's face, then curls up by her side and snuggles up close. In the prison workshop.
I'm with my own kind in here. Think I might just stay.
I knew this is where she wanted us to be, but I knew we couldn't be here. Not till Mum came back.
Colleen smiles hopefully.
Erin would have tied the washing line around the bathroom door. That was something I did to them. He wouldn't have known about that, would he?
She contemplates the horrific realization. Outside Caxton House, a bus pulls away under a somber grey sky. Through the bus's windows, the trees and tombstones of a graveyard drift past in a blur. Colleen stares in silence, eyes brimming with tears.